With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So Bill O'Brien met with the media yesterday. We're going to get into grading some of his acquisitions here at the midway point of the season in just a second. He's the de facto GM along with the head coach. He was asked an interesting question about making some of these pickups. The Texans have had to do some things on the fly with all of these cluster injuries at certain positions. And he was asked if having a staff, whether it's assistant coaches, scouting department, Jack Easterby, having a staff that's kind of plugged in around the league, if that helps the team make these adjustments on the fly in terms of having intel on these guys that they bring into the organization. And I thought this was an interesting answer.
That's a great question. I mean, there's Andre knew Duke Johnson just from the Miami connection. You know, I mean, Andre Johnson knew Duke Johnson from the Miami connection. I mean, there's a lot of intel that goes into those moves, like you're saying. And when you have guys on the staff that, Jack Easterby was in New England and Keon Crossan was there, and I could go on and on. James Lifford studied Laramie Tunsil extensively when he was coming out in the draft. There's a lot of that that goes into, bringing a player in. Because in the end, I think the most important part of the answer to that question that you're asking is the chemistry of the locker room. You cannot underestimate the chemistry of the locker room. And bringing in smart, tough, dependable guys that care about winning and doing what's best for the team is huge. And so that's what we try to do.
So that was O'Brien answering. I thought that last part about the chemistry of the locker room, I thought that was very interesting. This is not to rehash a Clowney thing or whatever, but anytime I hear this, anytime I hear O'Brien, especially when it's about personnel type things, Seth, not so much on the field stuff, but when I hear him talking about that sort of esoteric, touchy-feely locker room chemistry, camaraderie kind of thing, when you go back and look at the fact that they basically just left Jadeveon Clowney out with the recyclables pretty much at the end of the driveway, that's the first thing that immediately pops into my head.
Yeah,
I hear that.
It's always it's a fine line. It's hard as a coach, and you have to walk that line because there are always a bunch of guys out there who are really physically talented and are probably awesome football players that you would want on your team. But it all depends on kind of what they don't meet the character side of it. And I'm not talking about Clowney specifically now. I'm just talking about anybody else. Like, how do you structure your team? If you're trying to be like the current New England Patriots, it's really hard to do because Bill Belichick is the best who ever lived and has built a culture up there the culture on that team alone is something that's built over the course of 20 years, and they have such a history behind it now, and it's almost like it gets passed down from player to player within each position group, that I don't think anybody can just set out and say, hey, this is what we're going to be like this year. So it takes time to do that. I always worry that most coaches, most really good teams have a few guys on the team that probably don't fit, check all the boxes.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. As a former player, I wanted to ask you, like O'Brien in that cut, and I think in the way he's behaved as a general manager, seems to value that. I can't compare it to the other 31 locker rooms because we're not in those cities. We follow this team. But it really feels like, if I had to guess, he's at the very upper tippy top of GMs and head coaches that sort of value that whole locker room ethos.
Right.
Is he overvaluing it? I guess is my question.
This would be the question, I guess. The New England Patriots obviously felt like it was worth taking a risk on Antonio Brown.
Right.
Do you think the Texans were?
No.
Yeah, and that's that delicate balance of the guys that he mentioned, the guys where it's really worked out, on the margins especially, you can't have guys like Duke Johnson be jackasses. If that's the guy on your team that's a jackass, that stuff gets to be a pain in the ass. Now, when it comes to extremely talented, gifted individuals, that's where you start making your compromises a little bit. And it's always a fine line you have to walk. Obviously, the Patriots were willing to walk that fine line and bring in a guy like Antonio Brown. Yeah. And if it weren't for the PR, I wonder how long he would have lasted if it weren't for the outside football stuff. If it weren't for all the negative PR on the outside, I wonder how he would have operated inside. I like it. Like, I'm a fan of it. Like, I like to think that I would have been a Bill O'Brien type of guy when I was a player. As a fan of the team, I always worry that, okay, are you trying to create the perfect Petri dish for just an above average football team, but right. not necessarily a great team. If right. you're trying to never have a guy that kind of pushes the envelope in terms of behavior.
And I would argue that if you have a locker room that's as good as you say it is, then that should be the type of thing that creates an environment where you could potentially bring in somebody who maybe has a screw loose, you know, who maybe does have a couple negative check marks in the, you know, in the character column, right. I guess I'll call it, for lack of a better word.
Then those guys get assimilated.
Yeah.
Instead of, and that's the classic, there's kind of a tipping point. Yeah. Usually, I think most GMs kind of figure, all right, there's a tipping point where I got to have 95% this type of guy. Let's right. just call it type X. And I can have 5% Y.
Yeah.
But if I get over to like 7 or 8% Y, then all of a sudden everything goes to crap because you got it starts getting cancerous in the locker room.
I think, you know who's a good example of that? And this is a good segue into what we're talking about here. Kenny Stills.
Yeah.
Kenny Stills was thrown into that deal because he had become an issue for the owner. Now, not an issue, you know, he wasn't doing anything criminal. He had political views that differed from the owner, but the bottom line was that management in Miami saw Kenny Stills as somebody that was a detriment in the locker room, somebody that they wanted out of their building. For whatever reason, they wanted him out of their building, and the Texans opened their arms here, and especially it's kind of ironic because I think it was political things that got Kenny Stills sideways with the Dolphins, and I think the Texans have been viewed by and large as a more conservative organization when it comes to the political stuff, and Kenny Stills has come here and has assimilated perfectly. He's still kneeling at the anthem and things like that, but he's come in here, he's been a really good player, and O'Brien seems to really like the guy.
Yeah, and that's right, because I don't know if he's the best. I don't think anybody ever questioned his football character.
No, that's why I admit it's not the best example, but it's the closest one I can think of for the current time.
Right. Now, when you bring in guys from bad teams, that's another thing where sometimes that's where having personal knowledge of a player helps a lot too, because guys on bad teams sometimes operate differently than being a guy in a good team. Does that make you a front runner? Maybe, but as long as things are good, then hey, there you go. Now, I'm not talking about Kenny Stills, but just other people. But then now the worst case example of this is when it happens. It's not just a matter of, hey, we know these guys, because you know who knew Amon Green? Mike Sherman. And that was a abject disaster when they brought him in here.
Right. Yeah, you know, you have to be able to really weed out, is this a guy who's giving me an honest assessment of somebody versus a guy who's doing a solid for somebody that played for him at one time? Maybe we'll carry over the grading of O'Brien. I guess in terms of report carding O'Brien, the general manager, Seth, rather than going through each of the deals and saying A-, B+, things like that, just in generalities, how do you grade Bill O'Brien as a general manager so far through the first half of the season? Let me ask you this. Can you even grade him because of what he gave up to get most of what came in?
It feels like, you know, you really shouldn't grade drafts until 3 years. I feel like grading a GM's actual decision on a trade almost needs to go even further than that. Sometimes you find out real quick. Sometimes a guy's a disaster and it doesn't work out. With O'Brien, there are going to be effects from some of these trades, the Tunsil trade and including these third round pick trades, that you might not really feel the effects from till 4 or 5 years from now. And they're kind of like second and third wave effects. It's where, oh, okay, because you had fewer overall picks, you hit on fewer of them, and then you end up spending more on free agency. They give up a whole lot of it. I want to give them a B+ or an A-, but I just can't, because you bought good assets on credit card. And sometimes it's a matter of, are you going to be able to pay that credit card debt? The one that I would give him an A++ on is Carlos Hyde.
Yes.
That trade, you got something for nothing there.
Yeah.
And it was twofold. It was the evaluation of what a guy could do for your team that five other teams decided he couldn't. And two, that you traded a guy you were going to cut anyway for him. That's an A++ trade.
Yeah, 100%. I guess the one thing I would say about O'Brien, because I don't think you can grade him as a general manager. The one thing I will say, he has not made a move that's brought a player in here relative to a trade, where that player has not positively contributed.
Yeah.
Like Tunsil's been fantastic. Stills has been great. The running back combo of Johnson and Hyde, awesome. Conley's played well since he got here. Crossen.
Kenny Stills has ended up being a revelation
and
was viewed as, by myself and just about everybody else, as kind of an add-on to that. If anything, people felt like the Texans were doing the Dolphins a favor by taking Kenny Stills. That changes everything a little bit, too. That changes the calculus on that trade, obviously.
Sure.
But in terms of being able to grade O'Brien, B+.
B+.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.